welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, July 3rd, 2023. Authorities in Rueng administrative area blame forces loyal to South Sudan's vice president for killing peace commission officials in one kill over the weekend.
Call upon the peace partners to look into this and investigate. Since these people have clearly been accepted by the first vice president that they belong to him.
And Troika countries say armed youth are mobilizing to attack Upper Nile state capital, Malakal.
Reports of this kind further underscore the urgency of deploying the necessary unified forces, the NUF, consistent with commitments in the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Intense fighting between Sudan's military and the paramilitary support forces rocked the town of Omdurman in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, over the weekend. Residents reported heavy aerial bombardment and artillery shelling in parts of Omdurman. This episode of fighting has worsened an already dire situation as fighting took place near the Saudi hospital in Omdurman, where medical workers are struggling to help the wounded. We will bring more update on that story as it unfolds. The government of Rueng administrative area says seven members of its peace commission were killed in Wankur over the weekend. Officials from Rueng administrative area and SPLA-IO forces are blaming each other for starting the violence. For VOA News, Lek Nyak Jok reports from Bantiu.
Wankur village border United State, Upper Nile State and Rueng administrative area, forces loyal to South Sudan pulled by President Riek Machar are in control of the area. Sara Akwad, the Minister of Information in Rueng administrative area, say Rueng administrative peace commission visit Wankur village to request SPLMIO to allow MTN mobile phone network extend its services in the area to reach Rueng administrative area. A court accused the SPLMIO force of allegedly attacking the peace commission official.
When they sat for the meeting didn't take long. It was a very short meeting, and then before it could even end, one of the bodyguard of the commanders on ground started shooting at the delegates who left for the meeting. And then they started shooting at others, and this is how the situation went about.
A court say the head of peace commission in a Rueng administrative area was also wounded during the weekend attack.
Call upon the peace partners to look into this and investigate. Since these people have clearly been accepted by the first vice president that they belong to him.
He say SPLMIO force stole an space by number of vehicle. BOA could not independently verify a court account of the weekend attack at Wankur. Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel, SPLMIO spokesperson, denied force loyal to Riek Machar carrying out the attack.
So they have been full military uniform. Now how do you send these delegates in military uniform to come in our territory without even informing us, and they come with weapons to come and attack? I don't think there is genuine reason there. You can't hide. That is not right.
He says SPLMIO poured back in a self-defense after armed youth from Rueng attacked SPLMIO base.
We are implementing the agreement, regardless of all the attacks that have been happening. The implementation is going ahead. We know that there are people who would want to make sure that this agreement is delayed completely. And these are the kind of people that need to be singled out. We are all South Sudanese. We need to realize the importance of being a South Sudanese. We have much to suffer. We have much to lose. The more life you continue losing, it is also really losing life.
Gabriel said despite the incident from the former rebel of SPLMIO are still committed to the Revitalized Peace Agreement and the South Sudan roadmap for extending transitional period. Gabriel Haj saw Sudanese to avoid tribalism and work toward restoring peace across the country. For BOA News, I'm Lee Nyaja in Bantiu.
Authorities in Warap State say at least seven people were killed and six others injured in Twitch County over the weekend after armed young men attacked Aweng Payam. United States Deputy Governor says he will confirm if the attackers came from his state. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has details from Juba.
Warabe State Minister of Information William Wall says armed assailants went on a shooting spree in Aweng Payam before heading back to Unity Estate.
In the incident, seven people were killed on the spot and six people wounded by the suspected armed youth from Mayom County. 200 head of cattle were also ready. We have already a special security deployed in the area. But you know very well that Warabe State has been forced to a swampy area, physically or naturally. And therefore, it is always impossible for our security forces to rush and actually recover any incident or protect.
Warabe State Governor Mamiam Bol Malik has engaged his counterparts in Unity State, Governor Joseph Nguyen Montuil, to trace the whereabouts of the suspects.
And we also urge the Unity State government to apprehend the culprits and also retrieve back the raided cattle to their rightful owners. And we are planning to have an interstate peace conference so that this issue of cattle theft and cattle raiding is discussed and solved amicably.
Tor Tungwar is Unity State's deputy governor. Tungwar says his security agents inform him about a cattle raid.
We usually fight our youth in order to recover if they are the one. But now as we are speaking, I do not know who has raided who. This is the concern. I just want to, because it has not been confirmed whether these are youth from Unity State who have gone and raided cows, or these are youth from our neighboring Warab who have come to raid from us. Otherwise, we have been collecting, and you should know this as VOA.
Cattle raids and revenge killings are common in parts of Warab, Lakes and Unity States, as well as Jongole State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area. Some church leaders and local and international aid agencies have been working to reconcile communities affected by the cattle raids, revenge killings and land disputes in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Still in Juba, the Upper Nile State government has denied reports that armed groups are mobilizing to attack the protection of civilian sites in Malakal town. The Troika countries of Norway, the United Kingdom, and the United States say they are worried about the looming violence in Malakal. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Michael J. Adler, the United States ambassador to South Sudan, who spoke on behalf of Troika last week, called on South Sudanese authorities to promote peace in the area.
We urge those in a position of influence to engage immediately in support of peace and security, and we call for those responsible for encouraging violence to be held accountable.
Adler urged South Sudanese leaders to work towards restoring peace and stability across the country, adding that individuals obstructing the road to peace are placing the interests of South Sudanese at risk. The United States ambassador to South Sudan says the national government should deploy security forces to the Upper Nile State capital, Malakal, to deter potential violence at the UN-run camp for internally displaced persons.
Reports of this kind further underscore the urgency of deploying the necessary unified forces, the NUF, consistent with commitments in the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement.
Jeremiah Deng, the Upper Nile State Minister of Peace, dismissed Troika's statement. Deng says the state government has been working to avert further violence in Malakal town.
Seeing the incident happen, we were having those news like that. And the government at the state level, all security bodies, we were working hard to find out this kind of information that people are talking about. And we came out to confirm that this is baseless. There is nothing like that. Just only people who want to make everything worse through social media propaganda. But it is not true.
The Troika statement comes weeks after 20 people were killed and several wounded during an intercommunal violence that broke out at the protection of civilians' site in Malakal. Deng admits several people who fled from the POC camp last month are still stationed in various schools and churches in parts of Malakal town. He says some of the internally displaced persons living outside the UN camp need support.
Situation is not good in terms of humanitarian. We have some people who have displaced from POC, those who have been there for over 9 years. After this conflict happened, the one community came out. Because of that, they did not got the place where they can settle. So there's a refugee now, and the government have no facilities to accommodate them.
The United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, estimated that 7,000 people fled the camp following the violence in June. UNMISS deployed 600 peacekeepers on the inside the camp to prevent further escalation of the violence. Some of the audio in this story was shared by the U.S. Embassy in Juba. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu reporting from the capital, Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Americans prepare to celebrate their 247th anniversary of independence. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you believe in fate?
Yes, I do believe in fate. I do believe that once you have been given a particular purpose, fate will definitely make you get into it, whether you turn to the negative or the positive direction. Eventually, you get to achieve what has been planned for you.
Sometimes I do, because there are sometimes opportunities that comes unexpectedly, but sometimes I don't believe in it because everything is possible.
I don't believe in fate because I think once in life, no matter the family or your background, things can change. Your life had not been arranged in a certain way that you had to, no matter what, follow that change.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on plus one 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, plus one 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Following an outbreak of anthrax disease in the West African nation of Ghana, Nigerian authorities have urged citizens to stop consumption of cooked animal skin, a delicacy known as pomo in the country. Gibson Emeka has the story from Nigeria, Abuja, narrated by Salim Solomon.
Modesta Oluchuku, a Nigerian mother of four, is a skilled home cook. Her shopping list always contains food made of cowhide and other skins. Locals call it pomo. But Oluchuku says she has cut down on her favorite protein amid a heightened fear of anthrax, which broke out in northern Ghana, which borders Togo and Burkina Faso. Nigerian health experts are already sounding the alarm that cowhide can carry potentially deadly bacteria.
I've not stopped eating pomo. I'm still using pomo, but not always, because sometimes beef meat used to be expensive, but pomo will be more cheaper. So I have to go for pomo.
Anthrax is found in wild and domestic hoofed animals. Humans are usually exposed to it through handling animals or animal hides. Untreated, it could cause severe illness and even death. The risk of infection is high in Nigeria, where animal hides are a cultural delicacy. Since the outbreak in Ghana, the Nigerian government is doubling efforts to prevent the disease from gaining entrance, says Dr. Regina Adunugba, the Federal Capital Territory Director of Veterinary Services.
We trade with Ghana, so the possibility of coming is very high. Coming to Nigeria is very high, so we need to promptly alert the stakeholders, the livestock dealers, the butchers.
Jabril Mohammed, a cowhide trader, says the demand for pomo in local markets has begun to slow since the government's warning.
I noticed that people have reduced buying pomo, not like before. I think in the last 2-3 weeks now, the patronage is a little bit low now.
Anthrax symptoms include mild cough, fever, muscle aches, and severe lung problems. Although no case has been recorded in Nigeria yet, Dr. Ejeke Orji, who speaks on public health matters, has called for caution.
To make sure that people are fully aware and preventive, this thing they should take. And most importantly, to advise people not to eat bush meats and pomo.
Anthrax spore vaccine is the cheapest and easiest way to prevent the disease in livestock. The government is urging farmers to inoculate their animals to prevent the disease from establishing itself in the country. For Gibson Emeka in Abuja, Nigeria, Salim Solomon, VOA News.
As the nation's capital prepared to celebrate 247 years of the country's independence, smaller U.S. towns have developed their own tradition of making the day and bringing together their communities. VOA's Sahib Islam takes us to one such Virginia town that celebrated ahead of the July 4th holiday.
Day in a small town in Virginia, residents were getting together for an early Independence Day celebration.
Happy 4th of July!
Happy 4th of July!
Happy 4th of July!
Happy 4th of July!
Let liberty ring.
The Star-Spangled South Riding has attracted thousands since 1996, where history is on display for all through floats like this one.
We give out a lot of flags, you know, as well. And we try to give a little bit of history, you know, along with it. You know, the kids like the color. They like the flutter. You know, they like the ringing of the bell.
Bobby Kittle is the events manager for South Riding Proprietary, which has been organizing this festival since 1996.
All it does is make people included on the same adventure you're going to go have, which is fun, community, and it's there, right in your backyard.
And the residents appreciate that.
Like the atmosphere here, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, and of course the people here.
This is closer to home and no commute at all.
The festival brings different communities together in the spirit of independence.
We live in the same community. We just wanted to be a part of the community, you know, celebrate. We are here excited for the firework as well.
Yo, this is the fireworks!
The celebration ended with fireworks and with a message of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, words from the Declaration of Independence. Sakibul Islam, VOA News, South Riding, Virginia.
From Virginia, we moved to France, where the mayor of the Paris suburb was the apparent target of rioters Sunday during fifth night of unrest sparked by the killing of a teenager. The home of Vincent Jean Bon, mayor of the southern suburb of Paris, was rammed by a burning car while his family was sleeping, and he was in the town hall monitoring the violence. The mayor said his wife and one of his two children were injured as they fled the house. A local prosecutor has opened an investigation into an attempted murder in the attack. Authorities say police arrested over 150 people nationwide in rioting overnight Monday, far fewer than 719 arrests by early Sunday after a mass security deployment. Several schools, police stations, town halls, and stores have been targeted by fire and vandalism in recent days. A 24-year-old firefighter died Sunday night while trying to debauch a burning car in an underground car garage north of Paris. The 17-year-old, whose death Tuesday sparked an anger, was laid to rest Saturday in a Muslim ceremony in Natre, a Paris suburb where emotions over his loss remain raw. He has been identified publicly by his first name, Nahel, and he is of Algerian and Moroccan descent. His death has particularly angered nation's immigrant community. Speaking to the French broadcaster BFM TV Sunday, his grandmother pleaded with rioters to end the violence.
What do you think? Speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could swap lives for a day, who would you swap with and why?
I'll swap with our finance minister because I think he's doing a yeoman job and I want to have a feel of what he goes through in a day.
I'll change with my dad because I love him so much. He has been there for us. I mean, like, he has taken us in good schools. He has taken care of us because for us, our mom is not working. We depend on our dad.
If I was to swap with someone, I feel I admire myself more than anyone in this life, and I feel I'm capable of doing what those people are doing, so I would not swap for any person.
I would like to change position with the president because I feel it would be nice to give instruction to everyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
And that's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with Ras Corby and the song Belet Jadid. We've been listening to Russ Cogby and the song Belet Jadid. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Adrius Regis, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States will provide nearly $172 million in additional humanitarian assistance to the people of Sudan and neighboring countries. The outbreak of violence since April between two rival generals in Sudan has exacerbated a humanitarian crisis in the region. Fighting between troops loyal to Abdel Fattah Burhan, commander of the Sudanese Armed Forces, the SAF, and to Mohamed Dagalo, leader of the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, has killed hundreds of people, injured thousands, displaced more than 1.4 million people within Sudan, and nearly 500,000 people to neighboring countries. The new funding will allow the U.S. government's humanitarian partners to increase life-saving assistance to those with critical needs, including food, shelter, safe water, and medical care. It will also be used for protection services, including gender-based violence prevention and response for the most vulnerable individuals. Administered through USAID and the Department of State, the additional funding will bring the total U.S. humanitarian assistance to support the Sudan response to more than $550 million to date in fiscal year 2023. USAID Administrator Samantha Power noted that the surrounding countries and communities in Ethiopia, Egypt, Chad, and South Sudan have been incredibly welcoming to those fleeing the violence in Sudan, but they can only do so much because of their own needs and dependence on humanitarian assistance. In order to facilitate aid, the U.S. calls on Sudanese authorities to remove what Secretary of State Antony Blinken called in a statement the onerous bureaucratic and security restrictions that are hindering shipments of life-saving aid. He noted that supplies are being held at customs and routed through long, dangerous roads in order to reach communities affected by the violence, and that aid workers are unable to get the visas required to enter the country. While the United States will continue to identify further ways to help the Sudanese people and those in need in the surrounding areas, Administrator Power was clear about the real solution. The only fix for humanitarian crisis of this gravity, she said, is political, is fundamentally the SAF and the RSF coming together, putting their guns away, and finding a political way forward that ultimately hands power back to the people of Sudan.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.